great to have Mr. Rene Baez coming to preach a word to us today. And as I was praying for Rene this morning, and Rene may or may not remember this, but I remember years ago, Rene, just the Lord just speaking a word to me about you. And Rene is an up-and-coming preacher. And I will tell you this. He used to use the platform for something different because he used to have a rap career. And I told him years ago, I said, I believe God still has that platform for you, just in a different way. And so when you see him preaching, just know that this is just the beginning of some great platforms that God is going to put him on. So join me in welcoming Rene as he comes to give a word.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jen. You guys are far, far, far too kind. Far too kind. And you guys are beautiful as well. Yeah. Tell me, sometimes you got to declare it on yourself, amen? People look at me, I'm like, hey, I'm probably like 3'2", but I'm handsome. You right? So I brought up some papers here, but thank God the AC is working, so I'm going to put that right here before it blows around. Listen. I am excited to be here this morning, and I'm excited about the word of God that God has placed in my heart. I am seeing some wonderful people that I haven't seen in a while, and I want to thank you guys for coming out. Every time I think I got it all together, and I'm like, Lord, and I'm hyped, God shows me somewhere where I've been, where I was broken, and I was frustrated, and I was lost. And then I began to weep, and I began to cry, but I began to praise God in victory for where he's taking me now, amen? So I want to, last week I shared some of a little testimony, but I wanted to elaborate a little bit, because a little over 5 years ago, I was lost. I was confused. I was broken. I was depressed. I made some decisions in my life that left me out on the street. And even though I had family nearby, they had no place for me. And I had no place in their house because I was filled with guilt and I was filled with shame. And I was addicted to cigarettes and I was addicted to marijuana and I was addicted to prescription pills. And I was bound by lust and I was bound by all these things. And God began to work in me. And it wasn't until I began to apply the word is when things start changing. It was in that place where I lifted my hands up in surrender, where God reached his hands down and began to pull me up out of the miry clay in that broken place that I was in. And he saw fit to pull me out of that place. And so sometimes we get kind of tired of hearing our own testimony, but I'm going to tell you right now, stop sharing your testimony with people. There's something that God wants to do in each and every single one of your lives through your own testimony. You might have come through a broken place, but God is putting you and he's fixing you. He's fixing you and he's working on you. But it's up to you to continue to step in it. It's up to you to keep walking in it. We hold back our praises, and sometimes we look at this church, and I remember when we first came to this church, it was like, why do we worship so long? Right? On Wednesday nights, on first Wednesdays, it was prayer, right? And all the rest of the ones was Bible study. And then it was so awkward to hold hands with somebody and pray. And so we would be like, we ain't going to first Wednesday. Don't act like I was the only one. I saw everybody else on second, third, and fourth Wednesdays. But on first Wednesdays, there was five people. Because it was uncomfortable. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is trying to shift you out of your comfort zone and make you step into who he's calling you to be. But see, growth happens when you step out of your comfort zone. That's when it starts. That's when things start working. That's when things start going. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, is stepping out and stepping in. Stepping out of your comfort zone and stepping in who God has called you to be. Now, I believe there's someone in here today who feels like God is calling you out of your comfort zone. He needs stretching you, and he wants to do a new thing inside of you. And some of you might feel like you're unqualified to do that. You're unworthy. How is God going to use me the way I am? And you might be afraid, you might be discouraged about what he's trying to do because you don't feel like you can do it. You're afraid of failing. And I'm with you too. So if you think that you're the only one who's feeling like that, I'm right there with you. You might look at me and I'm up here and I got it all together and stuff. That's completely wrong. I am right there with you. I am right there with you. So I want to let you know that you're not alone. So I believe this message today is not just for me. It's for you too. So turn to your neighbor right now and say, good morning. And say, this message is for me and you. Your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down a strip on... No. I got to focus. Focus, focus, focus. You know, that's one of the... That's one of the main things I got to work on. I got to dial in and just focus a little bit. Now, hey, check this out. Check this out. The reason why I ain't using that one and this one, y'all can see very clearly, right? For two reasons. One, y'all can see me behind it. You know what I mean? Number two, last week, I saw a video again of Pastor Jeffrey Hurd using it. And I believe God is going to use this to help me out, man. Praise God for Pastor Jeffrey Hurd. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I believe his spirit still runs in this church. Ooh, from the lives that he's changed, amen. So I told you I want to talk to you about stepping out and stepping in, but I want to talk, my main passage for today is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to that. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. So if you don't have that version, that's all right. The words will appear on your screen. I often read out of the AMP and the NIV, but we're going to read through New King James Version. But before that, we're going to do our Bible affirmation. So go ahead and lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. And we're going to declare, one, two, three. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, everybody, let's start reading Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Thank you, Father God, for your word and your encouragement. And may we receive this word right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Now, before I take you to where I really want to go, which is Nehemiah, and, you know, I joke with Pastor Alex because he's the one who introduced me to the book of Nehemiah, right? And, you know, I'm kind of just running with it now. Because one, because Nehemiah was, he went and built some walls, and because I'm a carpenter, I love everything about building, right? And so I found myself identifying a lot with Nehemiah. And I want to encourage you guys to read the Word of God like you got to preach that Sunday and watch God reveal some things to you. Identify with one of those characters and watch God speak to you. Oftentimes we just pass over, we'll flip it and bam. But listen, read some of that Word of God like you got to preach and watch God speak. Now, in Joshua, I want to give you the background of Joshua chapter 9. It says that we read that Moses had just died. And God calls on Joshua to step up to be the new leader that will lead the children of Israel over the Jordan River and into the promised land. Now, that's not a small task to do. And Moses has some big sandals to fill. And so, you know, I believe that Joshua was kind of afraid. And so we read that in verse 6, 7, and 9, God tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And in verse 9, he has, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, three verses out of four, God is telling Joshua to something to the effect of be strong and of good courage, to not be afraid or dismayed. And oftentimes, do you think God knows that we would be afraid or dismayed when he calls us out to do something? That he knew exactly how we would feel, that we would kind of either, we're either going to sink or we're going to swim. But he's given us courage and he's given us a backdrop in this verse. And so he says, do not be afraid or dismayed, for I will be with you. So God is emphasizing us to be strong and be courageous, and that he will be with us wherever we go. Whenever we feel concerned, whenever we feel nervous or unsure about a particular situation, know that he is with us. And so I want to go to Nehemiah, because I believe that God is going to show you some things in this book. And to make a long story short, I'm going to try to break it down, and I'm going to snag some things out of it, and we're going to go through it. So Nehemiah was a Jew living in exile, and he was working for the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. Now, I might have pronounced that wrong, but you can put that right there where everything else I did wrong and just tally that one up, you know, because we're going to call him King Art if that name comes up again. So Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king, but he was also a trusted advisor and a confidant of the king. Now, you can see that he probably worked his way up into the palace, right? And he worked alongside of the king, and the king loved him. I believe it was because of his work ethic, and he was faithful to the king, right? And so one day, Nehemiah received a word back from Judah, from one of his brothers named Hanani and a few other guys, and they received a report that things were bad in Jerusalem, that the walls were broken down and the gates were on fire, right? And so it says that they were living in distress and reproach. Now, Nehemiah had a heart for his people in Jerusalem, right? And even though he was living nice in a palace, he recognized that his people were still living in distress and reproach. And something happened to Nehemiah when he heard that report. And I want to show you in Nehemiah 1:5, it says that when he heard those things, that he was crushed. It said that Nehemiah mourned and that he fasted and he prayed. But I want you to notice the first thing that he did is he prayed. It says, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. Now, I find it fascinating that Nehemiah received a bad report, but in the first line of that of prayer, he said, O great and awesome God. He still just chose to praise God, even through a bad report. Now, I find that fascinating, and we could preach on that for 3 weeks, because how many of us receive a bad report of news and automatically we just want to question God? Why me? Why did that happen? What's going on? But Nehemiah praised God, and he prayed, and he fasted. And then he reminded God of his covenant and his covenant promises, and he repented, and then he asked for favor to do something about what is happening. Now, Nehemiah didn't pray and ask God to come down and work a miracle. He didn't ask God to choose somebody else to take on that task. He took it as a direct call from God and chose to step up. He chose to step up. Now, I believe Nehemiah's preparation started in prayer, because one day when Nehemiah was standing before the king and the king saw his face and how it was filled with sorrow and sadness, the king asked him, what's wrong? And Nehemiah began to tell him what was on his heart and the thing that he heard. And the king right away said, well, what are you requesting? And Nehemiah did not pause. He didn't stop and say, no, I'm all right. I'm cool. He immediately asked the king to send him to Judah to do a work. But he didn't just stop there. He began to ask for resources. He asked for a letter to get through to Samaria and to Judah. And then he also asked for access to the king's forest. He started asking for material to get the job done. Now, how many of us put in a two-week notice to our boss, right, that we're going to leave, and then turn around and ask the boss for a job lead and a letter of recommendation, right? You just don't do that. But Nehemiah did. And what happened was is he had favor from the king, and the king gave him everything he needed to get going. Now, we see that as, I can't do that. Who does that? Well, Nehemiah did that. And it worked out for him because he had favor from God. Now, I want to talk to you about how Nehemiah prayed, but then he started to plan and prepare for building the walls. And I think this is important for when we receive a word from God, and that we immediately drop in prayer, and that we begin to plan and prepare for what God is trying to do in our lives. So in Nehemiah 2:11, it says, Nehemiah was in Jerusalem for 3 days before he arose one night. He took a few men and went in to inspect the walls. He says that he didn't tell anybody about the work that he was going to do in Jerusalem, what God put on his heart. Nehemiah was patient, but he was secretly planning and preparing. Now, I love how Nehemiah didn't go around and tell everybody and their mom about what God was doing, because you know how some people are. They start hating when you start telling them what you're going to do, right? So a whole lot of naysayers out there. Now, the way I feel is people, even your friends, it's not that they don't want to see you doing good. They just don't want you to see you doing better than them, right? It's like, yeah, hey, do your thing. And I think the enemy is the same way. It doesn't matter if you start doing okay. The enemy doesn't care that you come to church and that you know about God. The enemy cares is if you know God, is if you're in your word and you're building that relationship with God. That's when the enemy is like, that's a threat. You see? And that's how people are. And that's how what happened when Nehemiah went to go and put in the work. And so that's a good word for somebody, because you ain't need to go around telling everybody your business. Not everybody wants to see you doing good. You see, oftentimes we'll receive a report from God and we'll just sit on it. And we might pray on it. We might tell somebody about it, but we don't act on it. We don't act on it. We just expect it to come to pass. Like, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. If God wants this to happen, it's going to happen. He gave me the word. It's just going to come to pass. I don't got to do nothing about it. I don't have to do anything about it. But we don't plan and prepare for it. We don't believe that we have to do something, that God is always going to fight our battles, right? Now, I want to tell you that even though you might receive a word from God, it's not that you get to sit back, and he might even say you're going to have victory in this situation. But that doesn't mean you got to sit back and just do nothing about it, right? We want God to take us up off our couch, take us to our destination, fight our battles, and put us right back on the couch so we can finish watching Big Bang Theory, right? Talking about Penny, Jesus, right? It's like so many people got that all twisted, like the Lord will provide. You know, if it's his will, it's going to happen. I don't got to do nothing. He's always going to fight my battles, and then we just sit back and do nothing about it, and then the day comes, and we're not ready for it. We give God nothing to work with. You see, God will provide the fish, but you still got to cast your nets. You still got to reel them in. You still got to skin them and cook them and eat them, right? The provision is there, but what are you doing on your side to make sure it happens? Now, without getting ahead of myself in the story of Nehemiah, I believe Nehemiah was able to do what he did because he worked alongside of the king. And it's not that he just worked alongside of him. I believe that he was watching exactly how the king operated, and that he was taking notes, and he was studying the king, because he knew that one day God would give him an opportunity to do something, and that he would be ready for it. And so some of us are in a position where we work with our boss alongside of him. And God might be calling you to that position, but because you don't feel capable of it, you don't feel qualified to take that position, you're never going to go for it. And God is saying, that's your job. But what are we doing to prepare ourselves for it? Are we sitting back, scrolling through Facebook on our downtime, shopping on Amazon, and you're watching your boss being successful at things, and we're just sitting back on our free time, and we're just like, I don't got to do nothing about it, blah, 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 blah. You know, God is going to take one down and put me up, and I don't got to do nothing. It's just going to happen. No. It's up to you to do something about it. Are you reading on how to start your own business? Are you steady practicing the instrument that God gave you to play? If God told you that that's going to be your position, what exactly are you doing to make sure that that happens? We got to sit back and we got to think, because time is not free, and we might call it free time and it might be downtime, but what are you doing in your downtime? What are you doing in your downtime? I believe that even though Nehemiah was sitting at the palace, sleeping on satin sheets and Tempur-Pedic pillows, and he was tasting the wine from the king, I believe that he was still studying the king and watching how he operated. And when God gave him something to do, he went out and did it. Now, in chapter 3, it goes on to show what it starts, the building of the wall, right? And if you read chapter 3 in its entirety, you're going to see about 20-plus names or even more of people who started building, who started doing the work, who did what and who did what where. But there's one name that you don't see in the chapter 3, and that's Nehemiah's name. Because I believe that's when he started to take charge. That's when he became a leader. That's when he started organizing and delegating the work. That's what God called him to do. He started the project, and then he sat back and started organizing because he watched the king work, and now it's up to him to do it. And so that's what he's doing. And now in chapter 4, is super incredible. I mean, this story is so good. If you read it and you put yourself in it, chapter 4 is incredible. And it says that when Sanballat the Horonite, now I might get these a little wrong, so like I said, we're going to cut their names a little short. But it says Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Fatty the Cellulite, Wait, that's not in your Bible? Oh, it's in mine. It says that when they heard that he was rebuilding the wall, they became furious, and they began to mock the Jews, right? And they began to plan an attack. They began to plan an attack. It's like when you're doing good, the enemy immediately wants to come and stomp you out. When you're a seed in your faith, it's easier to pluck that seed than it is to knock down a big redwood tree, right? So when you start right away, the enemy's going to come and try to chop you away, right? Now, in Nehemiah 4:9 says that when he heard that, nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set watch against them day and night. Now, I want you to see that Nehemiah prayed, and even though he knew that the hand of God was on them, he still prepared and positioned men for battle. He knew that the hand of God was on him, but still, he positioned men to be ready to fight. And it's not that he doubted God. It's that he was giving God something to work with. He was ready for when things went down that we're still going to fight. Even though God already told me that I can do this, are you still preparing yourself? We're not called to just sit back. Now, it says that Nehemiah and the crew stayed with weapons on them even while they were building the wall. Now, I do construction. And in my tool bags, I got a few things. And a sword is not one of them. But I do got a hammer. So if the foreman acts up, I just hammer time. Thon, thon, thon. You know what I'm saying? Be an MC Hammer, can't touch this. Let me focus. So, I'm telling you. Now, during this time of rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah faced oppression. He faced ridicule. He faced everything you can imagine. When you're doing a work, when I started preparing for these things, my computer shut down. I'm working overtime. All of a sudden, I can't get in my word. I got to make a sacrifice. All of a sudden, family members are calling me with issues. They try to swamp you out. See, the enemy is cunning. And the number one thing he tries to do is take away your communication with God. When there's a war going on in the world, when another country goes after another country, they don't immediately go and start trying to fight you right away. What they want to do is take away your communication. They take away your phone lines and your radios, and then they bomb your airplanes. So now you can't fly out. Now you can't escape. And then they come in. A few weeks ago, Pastor Shana had a message, and she was saying that what does a lion do to the herd? He picks one out, singles it out, and gets that one away from the crew. And then now he can just feast on it. You see, some of us do this intentionally. And because we're filled with guilt and shame, or we're filled with something that's going on, we tend to isolate ourselves from communion, from community, from people in the church. And the enemy begins to bombard you with how bad you are, the things you did wrong. But once you come back to church and you start filling with the fellowship, God can speak something inside of you that will encourage you, but it's up to us to come right back in to fellowship. That's why it's important to join small groups. That's why it's important to come to Wednesday Bible study. That's why it's important not just show up on Sunday morning, but to take notes on Sunday morning. I've seen people come to this church and leave this church in a month span because their growth in God wasn't happening. Is that our fault? We supply a place for you to come in. But your growth in God happens with you. It happens when you're in your word. And then you got people who are biblically sound and they know the word, but biblical knowledge won't change you. Biblical application will. It's when you start applying the word. That's when growth happens. That's when change happens. You can't blame your faith in somebody else. You can't put it on them. Oh, well, they ain't reading the word right. I might have said fatty the cellulite. Don't look at the presentation. You might catch me on a Sunday and I got a Yankee hat and some boots on. But God has given me a word for you. And because the way I'm dressed, you're not going to receive that word. Don't get fooled in the presentation. If you're leaning into the word of God, you're going to receive that word of God. Man, I need to focus. I'm way off my thing. So check this out. I want to talk about perseverance. Because Nehemiah prayed, he planned, and he prepared, and then he persevered. Now I believe this is where a lot of us fail. We might have planned, we might have prepared, but we're not ready for the long haul. We're not ready for the fight. And God says, when the storm comes, like it will come, how prepared are you? Are you standing on the rock? Or are you just coming to church and getting blown by the winds easily because your faith is not deep? Your faith is not deep. Your word, you're not biblically, you're not in your word. You're not studying scripture. You're not memorizing scripture. Now, it says that Nehemiah stayed strong and of good courage, for he knew that God was with him. Now, I want to tell you, if God has given you a vision or a dream, then he will also give you everything you need to achieve that very thing. All you need to do is walk it out. Step out in faith and walk it out and just walk it out. So right now, I want you to tell your neighbors, turn to them and say, walk it out. Listen, because if you talk it out, you're going to talk yourself out of a promise of God because your mind is not going to see what God wants you to do. It's not going to compute because your spirit will receive a word from God and say, I'm ready to roll. Let's do this. But your mind is thinking, how is that going to come to pass? Your mind is thinking about your old experiences and how things went wrong. And so that's why God says it starts with the renewing of your mind. And me and the folks on the street say, get your mind right. Because if your mind is not in it, your grind is not in it. You got to be ready. You got to be firing on all cylinders. When God gives you something, you got to go for it. It doesn't matter what the next person says. If you read in Joshua 1:9 or in Joshua chapter 1, it says, don't look to your right or to your left. Focus. Get it in. And that's a word for my message. Focus. I got to get it together. But sometimes when God gives us something, what we do is, remember when Peter jumped out of the boat? Right? God called him out of the boat. He said, if that's you. And God said, come on, it's me. And Peter jumped out of the boat, right? And he started walking on the water. But once he started noticing, once he took his eyes off Jesus, he sank. That's why God says, focus on me. Don't turn to your left or to your right. Focus on me. Focus on me. But now I want to tell you, check this out. When Peter got back in the boat, when Jesus pulled Peter out of the boat and they jumped back in the boat, right? Do you think his disciples were like, aha, Peter sank. He thought he was good. He was walking on water and then he sank. No, they didn't happen. If anything, they were kind of tight because they were like, man, I wish I had the courage to step out of the boat. I wish I had the faith in God to step out of the boat. Oftentimes, we get something and God is pushing us out of our comfort zone to do something and we get afraid to do it, afraid to fail, afraid that somebody's going to see us and they're going to laugh at us, or what are they going to think? Right? It happens to a lot of us. I grew up like that in school. There was times where I knew that I could do something, but I was afraid to ask a question. I would do the book report, but I wouldn't go up there to present it because I was afraid to be in front of everybody and how bad I was going to do. So I would do the report, but I would not step up in front and give the presentation. I'll take the F over passing grade because I was afraid to put myself in front of somebody. I dealt with that for years. And God was telling me, no, you can do this. You can do it. You can do it. If I'm for you, who can be against you? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. That's building us up in courage, saying you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. God is saying, if I am for you, who can be against you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for I will be with you wherever you go, wherever you go. Now, anybody remember those slinkies? You know, little shiny things? This is old school. I don't think they got slinkies anymore. If you got one in your storage, look it up on eBay. You'll probably sell it. Now, slinkies stand there and they don't do anything until you move them, until you push them, right? So you will place them on top of the stairs and you will push them over and they will gain momentum, right? And fall to the next one and fall to the next one. You see, God has given you something and you're afraid to make that move. But you're never going to gain momentum until you start living in the moment, until you step out in faith and actually make something happen for yourselves. Motivation is not going to knock on your door and say, hey, let's roll, let's do some. You're trying to get fit, right? Let's go. No, it's when you act. Motivation is going to hop on your back and say, let's do it. But you got to step out in faith. You got to make it happen for yourself. Now, Nehemiah led by example. I'm going to close right here. Nehemiah led by example. He gave up a respected secular position in a palace, drinking fine wine and sleeping on satin sheets, sleep number pillows for hard labor. Many of us are in our comfort zone, and God is calling us out of it. But because we're afraid to make that move, we're never going to be who God has called us to be. God is stretching us out and doing a new thing in us. But are we ready for it? Are we willing to let God use us? God might say, I want you to be on the worship team. But you're saying, my voice sounds like, it doesn't sound like T-Pain. It don't sound like Brian McKnight. I used to pray and be like, Lord, I'm going to sound like Luther Vandross. Then I get up here and I'd be like, ah. See, God is good. God is good. God is really, really good. Now check this out. Now, don't feel like you need to work in ministry in order to do and serve God and do his work. God is going to use you right where you are in the job that you have. God is going to use all your past experiences for his good. God will use you no matter what you do. For every burger you flipped, for every paper you clipped, every building that I secured when I worked security, God still used me. And look where I'm at now. I told you about 5 years ago where I was at. And all it took was for me to serve with the little that I had in my hand. And he began to reveal more and more and more in me. Start with what you have now and work with where you are. Don't be afraid to serve. And God will reveal some things to you. It's like you tell God that I want the results of walking with you. I need the results. But when you look at what it takes to achieve the results, you get overwhelmed. You get discouraged. You get afraid of stepping out. But God is saying, I'm for you. I can do it. I'm going to give you everything you need to achieve that very thing. But all you need to do is step out and walk in it. I believe there's more than 5 people in here right now that God has given them the word to start their own business. To step out on faith and do it. And you're thinking, I'm not qualified to do that. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the training for that. It didn't say that Nehemiah was, studying John Maxwell in the palace and leadership stuff. He was taking note and he was focused, and then he went out and stepped out on faith and did it and did some amazing things in God's hands, right? God has given you a word to start your own business. But what are you doing in the meantime? It might not start. It might not happen in a year. It might not happen 5 years from now. But best believe that it will happen. But what are you doing in this moment that's preparing yourself right now to walk in God's calling? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm done. Stand to your feet. I want to pray for you guys. If God is telling somebody in here right now that he's trying to do a thing in you and he's trying to stretch you out of your comfort zone, it might be something simple as just taking on a job that you feel unqualified to do. It might be asking for forgiveness for somebody. It might be forgiving somebody. Those things are uncomfortable to do. Walking with God can be uncomfortable. Because you might not see the end result, but you got to stay in the process. You want the income and the outcome, but you don't want to put in the work of the job that it takes. Let God in Joshua 1:9 encourage you. And when he says, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid or dismayed, for I will be with you wherever you go. If there is one thing and one scripture I want you to memorize and write down in your heart, is that. And say it to yourself over and over. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I want you to tell your person that. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, no matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how big the God-sized dream that he's given you look like, and you don't know how you're going to do it. Just tell him, the Lord God is with you. Lord God is with me wherever I go, wherever I go. Go ahead and lift your hands in the air. I believe God is trying to do something amazing in each and every one of your lives. And I believe right now that God is showing you exactly that thing that he is calling you to do. And I want you to write it down today. I want you to write it down immediately what God is speaking to you. And I want you to pray. And then I want you to plan and prepare for it. And when the time comes, I want you to persevere. I want you to remind yourself that God is with you wherever you go. That the Holy Spirit is giving you power to do what you need to do. And that you will not fail. You will prosper. You will succeed. You will be who God has called you to be. You will step out of the boat and walk in faith. You will allow God to stretch you out. You will allow God to do a new thing inside of you. You will be about the Father's business. Each and every one of us has a true heart for God. But will you allow him to do what he wants to do in you? Or are you going to look to your left and to your right and say, I can't praise God because somebody's watching me. I can't lift up my voice because I don't sound good. Stop thinking it's about you and start putting your focus on God. Because if you're thinking about it's for you, then you're focused on the wrong things. Everything we do right now is for God alone. So, Father God, I pray right now and I lift up these people to you, Father God, including myself. Give us strength and courage, Lord God. And give us the ability to do what you are calling us to do. Help us to have faith and courage. Help us to rely on you, Lord God, and not on our own experience. It's not about us. It is about you, Father God. And when we are saying we want more of you, and then we hear you saying that you want more of us, help us to be obedient, Lord God, and put those other things to the side and focus on you and get back in your presence, oh God. There is healing in your presence. There is deliverance in your presence. There is provision in your presence. And we thank you, God, right now. May you guys be blessed. May you guys be blessed, and may you walk in who God is calling you to be. Shall we say amen? Amen. Amen.